Welcome to Mercersburg Mennonite Church. It's so good to see each and every one of you here, and those who are joining us on live stream or joining us later on live stream, welcome. Just a couple of housekeeping things that I want to talk about, and then we'll go into prayer. First is, yes, we're doing Article 3, God's Creation and Providence, and next week we will start a different sermon series, and we'll take a break from our What We Believe. And that will be a sermon series like we've done a couple years in the past, where it's always from a different perspective, right? And so we're going to do the prophet's point of view of the exile to Babylon. And as usually, it's Jonathan and Aaron, but we voluntold Ethan that he was going to be part of that. We asked him. And so we're going to do, I'll start off with Isaiah next week, and then Aaron will be doing Habakkuk, and then Jonathan will do Lamentation, Ethan will do Haggai, and then I'll come back and finish it with Isaiah. And the reason we want to do this is because while you look at this and you take it as an Old Testament story, there are some resounding and prophetic words that apply today. And so we want to try to bring that forth to you as the congregation. So we are continuing for this morning what we believe. And as I've said, and I've already heard some people record it back to me, if somebody says, well, oh, you go to a Mennonite church, what do you believe? I had that kind of conversation again this week, because somebody was like, as soon as they heard Mennonite, they said, Clear Spring, you're from Clear Spring. You go to that Clear Spring Mennonite church. I'm like, oh, no, they wouldn't let me in. I mean, they would probably, but I said, try to explain. And here's the thing, right? It's this simple. We're not going to try to explain what all the Mennonites and all the Anabaptists, we're going to be able to explain what Mercersburg Mennonite believes, okay? And that's what we're working through. So what does Mercersburg Mennonite believe? And this is based on our faith covenant, which is how we've redefined membership and that we've been talking about with the ballots. And I just want to be clear as we move forward that I understand some of you have not signed it that were members. I just want to be clear, if you're waiting for me to come to you, I'm respecting that you haven't signed it, that you don't want to sign it. So if you want to talk, let me know. I would love to talk with you. But I'm not going to go and pursue everybody and hound them. I want to be respectful if you don't want to sign it. Because this is just like we have to do background check on for children's ministry and other ministries, this is really a spiritual background check for us to review to see, do we believe what we understood the Word of God to say? And with that, if you signed a faith covenant from 20 to 24, we're doing this every 5 years, so please sign one if you already have signed it and you still believe what we are teaching. Again, this lets you know what I will be teaching and anybody that fills the pulpit. This is what we believe, and it keeps us on track, especially in the culture that we live in today. So with that, this morning we're going to talk about God's creation. And this is the summary we have, is we believe that in the beginning God created all things by His Son. He made people in His divine image with free will, moral character, and a spiritual nature. I'm just going to pause here as we go into prayer, but I guess what I'm set back with is that the scriptures I'm going to use this morning were not in the bulletin. As I prayerfully considered it, the Lord took me in a different direction. With Ryan's comments in the last song, I just feel overwhelmed to just say as we go into prayer, God's moving and I think we need to listen. And with that, Heavenly Father, we just pause now before You. Lord, with our hearts and minds bowed before You, Lord, I do pray that the busyness of last week, if people had a week like we did, it can cloud your mind. I pray that we put it aside. And with the week that comes next, we can start focusing and thinking about those things. Lord, I just pray that right now we would separate those and just have our mind focused on Your truth, Your word. Lord, as we talk about creation, what does it mean as we move forward? Lord, I believe that Your presence is always here. But Lord, this morning, I do pray that anything that would come from me would fall on deaf ears and fall to the floor. But the words that come from you through your word and through your spirit would penetrate our hearts and minds to seriously take a look at our day-to-day lives as we live out this faith, as we are your creation. I ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So to begin with, if we're going to talk about creation, I mean, obviously you got to go back to in the beginning, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is a tough scripture for many to take hold of. In the beginning, God created. Well, when we think about it, also the vastness of it, like, well, just look at our galaxy, and the galaxy that we live in is spinning at a speed of 490,000 miles per hour. If I was going 400 miles an hour, I think I'd be kind of... But we're spinning at that speed, right? And at that speed that we're spinning, do you realize it's going to take us 200 million years to make one complete? I mean, that's vast. That's huge. They say the number of stars would equate to the number of grains of sand. If you've been to the beach, it's endless. You find it everywhere. Why did God create? Did he need to? No, he chose to. Because God is love. And to love, you have to have someone or something. And so he chose to create us. And in this, we could maybe reduce this to mere scientific terms and we can start arguing these things, but really here comes a point that we see in Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for, the evidence of things we cannot see. God spoke into existence. Gallup poll did another survey in 2024. Those who believe in the creationist pure that are 7 days, 10,000 years on earth, in America, it is 37% of the population. This is actually down by 1%, and it's the lowest it's been. Those who accept the scientific theory of evolution is 24%. It's up 2% from the last time they did it, and it's the highest it's been ever. Then there's the ones that are kind of like straddling the fence, and they say, well, we believe both theories in a sense. We believe humans evolved, but God put it into existence and has guided, and that's 34%. So when you take it, there's at least 71% that will acknowledge God as creator. The interesting thing, and why I bring this up, is because you talk about the fine-tuning of the universe. And this, the reason I put this up here is we did the video, and I'm not going to take the 6 minutes that are required for this video, but it is in the YouVersion. If you want to go to it, not now, but go to the YouVersion and our events, and if you go down through my PowerPoint, you will see this picture, and then right below is the link to go to watch this 6 minute video where they give the different fine tunings, like gravity. You know, when you talk about gravity, that if it's just a fraction of a hair, how much it just changes everything, right? Or the expansion rate, or the mass and energy, right? All these different things, how it's fine tuned. And this is the argument that atheists have the struggle. They have a struggle with this. They cannot actually, when we talked about Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens said, this argument is the one that we cannot really dispute. Oh, so then now they're willing to acknowledge there's a God. They say, no, it doesn't prove there's a God. Matter of fact, even Stephen Hawking says, the remarkable fact is that the value of these numbers seem to have been very finely adjusted to make possible the development of life, but I'm going to my grave as an atheist. So, What do we do with this? My point is, I like the scientific. I love that we can actually pinpoint and that scientists are now coming to the faith because they're realizing, you know, it's hard to dispute the complexity. But are we going to always win that argument? Or there's something more here? This date might not mean anything to you, but it does to me now. This is the day I die. November 1st, November 2040. You say, how did I come up with this? I was reading a biography of a gentleman, and he went to that website, and he said, this is what it says, I'm going to die. And then he kind of was, his whole premises was based on, if I only have this many years left, what am I going to do? So by my information that I put in, I have 15 years left on this earth. November 1st, 2040 is when I go see the Lord. I knew those little Debbies and ice cream were going to catch up to me because it said the reason I'm going is it'll be a heart attack. Yeah. How did they know that from my information? The funny thing is that we actually will place how much value on these kind of things. And I found something also interesting about this website when you change some parameters that I will get to later. Well, this isn't really what we should put our faith in, obviously. It's this. Psalms 139:16. You saw me before I was born. Before I was born, God saw me. He saw you. And every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So do I just coast down the hill now to the grave? God knows what the date is, which I know he does. You see, we struggle with this, that he, before we're born, he sees us. Everything is laid out before him, right? So there's nothing you can do. Or why did Peter write in his second letter, the Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Everyone to repent. You see, here's the thing. The verse right before it says, God, for God, one day is a thousand years one day. He's outside of time. And so he sees my birth, and he sees all the choices I make, and he sees my death. He's outside of time. We're caught in time, and we keep trying to somehow put this in a chronological order, when in fact, this is something that probably we would never fully grasp hold of. So, how do we proceed then? What are we going to do with the days that we have, and why is this significant? If November 1st, 2040 was my day, what would I do with the next 14, 15 years? Oh, and also the interesting thing is when I had put in it, it has a little clock that starts going countdown with seconds. And while I was working on sermon prep and I came back, hours had passed and I'm like, man, it's slipping away quickly. And isn't that how life is? But what do we see here? God is slow in his return because he wants everyone to repent. You and I are called in that mission. You and I are called to set the example. This is Andre Agassi. Now, in 1995, he became the highest-ranking tennis player. I am not a tennis fan. I will not be a tennis fan until they make it full contact. So why do I know about this guy? And he says, image is everything. Because I was reading an article about him, and this is a quote he said. One thing I know for certain, you can never drive too far for Taco Bell. Not anybody else here like Taco Bell like I do? He made his nutritionist work in his diet, this elite athlete, that Taco Bell would be included. Well, he became a spokesman for Canon cameras. That was their slogan. Image is everything. And back in those days, when you bought a camera like that, and you would take pictures, then you would take your film. You had to be careful how you opened it. See, guys, you don't realize what we had to deal with before Google and phones, right? Did you already rewind it? Is it good? Because you don't want to expose your pictures. Then you take your little canister to the Valley Mall, and you drop it off, and you come back in an hour. And if you come back a little bit earlier, you may see your pictures coming down, and you're like, oh my goodness. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because we take pictures to capture moments, to present to people our lives and what's going on. We do it now with Facebook, Instagram, and all these others. Here's my life. Here's my highlights. This is what I want to show you is my life. Now, I'm going to take a secular term here of image is everything and tell you that that is actually a spiritual reality that we need to take into consideration. Why do I say that? Well, let's go back to creation. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Well, first, we need to talk about, let us, our image, like us. There are two theories of thoughts. The first would be, and we see it in the Old Testament, kings would refer to themselves in a plural term. We see it in the book of Job. Kings would refer to themselves as us or ourselves. But I think actually the second one is really more where I fall. He's talking about the Trinity. This is the Trinity being spoken. Why do I say that? Well, Colossians 1:16 says, through him God created everything in the heavens, heavenly realms, and on earth, talking about Jesus. Everything was created through him, for him. We also see that in John 1, right? 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, talking about Jesus. And then it goes on and says, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. And then we see the scripture that we've used a couple times in the previous articles. But for us, there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. Brothers and sisters, Jesus just did not come into existence on Christmas morning, born of a virgin. He already existed. And so when we see this reality of this scripture of let us, this is the Trinity being described. I know it's hard to sometimes grasp hold. Here's a simple way I think that could also help. And I'm going to just tell you right up front, this is a vast, beautiful depth of reality that we will never fully grasp. So no earthly analogy will even come close to what the Trinity is. But think of this, H2O, water, liquid, ice, solid, steam. Just a thought to give you that how one and three. But the reality is, we are created in the image of God. And so what does that mean, created in the image of God? Because God is spirit. We see that when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, that we will worship him in spirit, for God is spirit. So what does that look like, the image of God? Well, first, mentally. When we were created to be rational, although sometimes we wonder, and a free will. In other words, we're able to make choices. When we choose to do something, when we create something with our minds, we are reflecting God's intellect and freedom. In other words, when you create a machinery, when you write a book or draw a painting or paint, you do landscaping, enjoy music, calculate a sum, name a pet. All these things that we do, when we use our mind, we're proclaiming the image of God. When we use our minds and rationalize and reason and make a decision morally. Humans were created in righteousness and perfect innocence, a reflection of God's holiness. And then sin entered the earth because of Adam and Eve. But our conscious and moral compass is still a sign, a hint, a remnant of that original state. So when somebody writes a law, or we recoil from some evil when we hear it in the news and just cannot believe it, or even praise good behavior. And when we feel guilt, this is reminding us that we were made in the image of God. Socially, as we talked about in creation, God's Trinity is reflected here. Humans' primary reasons, God created us to be in that relationship. In the Garden of Eden, we see that when he was walking, that he was coming to fellowship with humans, with Adam and Eve. And we see that in Adam and Eve, it was not good until he said it was only good, and that it was very good when he realized he needed to create somebody for Adam. So when we have a wedding, one man, one woman being married, not only is it a representation of Christ in the church, but it's also showing us the image of God, because a desire for a relationship, when we have friendships, when we hug, when we meet here because we need the fellowship of the church, we're showing the image of God. And as I thought about how does that look lived out, this is the scripture that just kept pounding in my head and haunting me, because I thought, this does not make sense. Turn with me to Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Seth starts a job working as an electrician tomorrow. I say that because it doesn't take long. If you've worked construction work, you know what the environment's like. I've heard it from you guys. But one of you young men took my son aside last Sunday and said, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be dark. People are going to just say whatever they want. They're going to complain. There will be no filters in the language. It's just. But God calls us to be the light. And so we need to be faithful. And I believe that young man that pulled my son aside will pray for him. The problem is, brothers and sisters, too many times we want to brag about the fine-tuning, but then when we're called to go into a darkness, we're like, but this is different. If he has empowered us with the Holy Spirit and created us in this complexity and then sets us forth and says, go and be my light, why do we hesitate? I don't care what environment you're in. God has called you to be a light. That light so they can see the image of God. They will see an image in your life, because Jesus said to the Pharisees something that is very haunting to me when I read it. I think, how could you go that far? When he said to the Pharisees, you're acting like your father, the father Satan. Brothers and sisters, when we step forth, when we live out our lives, are you showing the light of Christ, or are you living in the darkness of Satan? I'm asking it point blank to be challenged today, because we will quickly reason away well, this is different. How do we share that light and that mental making our decisions and our morality and social? I believe through our words. Let our conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response to everyone. How do we talk with people? How do they? What do they hear us say? Because why I said you will give an image is because Jesus also said this: a good person will produce good things from the treasure of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. And what you say flows from what is in your heart. I want you to grasp hold of that, because when I bring up the next scripture, what is coming forth from your heart? Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright light in a world of crooked and perverse people. You know, when I did that death date thing, it was interesting. I just said, I have a neutral perspective of life. And so it said, well, then it's going to be November 1st, 2040. But when I said, no, I'm going to be optimistic, because I think we as believers should be optimistic, it added another 15 years on my life. I want to be clear. I'm not putting stock in it, but I will put stock in this, because the next thing is I said, no, I'm going to be pessimistic. And I said, yeah, enjoy your next 9 years. I believe there's truth to that. When we're complaining, griping, holding on to bitterness, I've pastored now for over 20-some years, and I have watched people's physical health deteriorate because of that kind of disposition. And I've seen it cause troubles in families and other relationships, because we look at each other not as the image of God. 2016 in the Super Bowl, all the commercials, right? But one particular one really caused the controversy. Maybe if I start it, you'll probably be like, oh yeah, I remember that one. Husband and wife, she's expecting. She's laying on the bed. The doctor's there with the sonogram, and she's running it over her stomach with the baby. And she's, you see the baby, and it's falling. She's like, it's not going to be long. And the dad's sitting there eating Doritos, or standing there. And all of a sudden, he pulls one up, and he looks in the screen, and the baby kind of like reaches out towards it. And he's like, and the baby reached down. He reached up. The baby kind of reached up. So he went back, and then he came real quick. The baby kind of like jumped up, and the woman's like, ah, stop it, and grabbed it and threw it, and then both the doctor and the mom screamed. The baby wanted the Dorito. Why do I say this is a controversy? Immediately, the Twitter of all the pro-choice people went after it. You know why? They had humanized the fetus. They had humanized it. How can we abort this baby? Well, fetus is what they say. And they went after them. I challenge you, brothers and sisters. We coil and say, it is life. It is created in the image of God. But how many times have we gone around and we looked at somebody and cursed at them, devalued them, we dehumanized them, because of how they looked, how they act, where they came from? Maybe that's why James wrote, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. That we can speak with our mouth praises to the Lord and then turn around and curse somebody. And this is an in-depth, not like just swearing, but speaking ill of that person. The image of God. How many times have we as Christians dehumanized someone because we see them and we judge based on what we, very little that we see? Genesis says, if anyone takes a human life, That person's life will also be taken by human hands, for God made human beings in his own image. I'm not after here for an eye for an eye, for a tooth for a tooth. I'm here to remind you that Jesus said that if you lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. If you hate, it is murder. Matter of fact, this is what he says. You must not murder it. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. You've heard this said. But I say if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. Image is everything, brothers and sisters. And what image do people see in our lives? And when we look at people, do we see the image of God? So as we think about what does this look like then, to be the image of God, to shine the light, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Which image do people see? And if you want to check me out on when Jesus actually said to them, "Your father is the devil, you love to do evil things," it's John 8:44. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they've closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity." And I think when we see lustful pleasures, we think, oh, well, we don't live like that. That's not it. But wait until you see how it's applied down here, and it's always going after our own desires. Verse 20, "But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former ways of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." I want to be clear, this is not a self-help. This is a surrender, dying to ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to renew our hearts and minds and our attitudes. It is dying to ourselves and surrendering and letting the Holy Spirit work in our lives. And then verse 25 starts telling us, stop doing this and start doing this. What is the first one? Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. I want to be clear, 10% truth is still 100% lie. Stop telling lies. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold for the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And so do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He's identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. If we proclaim our faith in Jesus Christ, He says He has come to give us life and abundance. Which image is seen as you live out your day? We sang, "Go light, to light your candle and run into the darkness." In A.W. Tozer's book, Pursuit God, he makes this quote, "My fire is not large, it is yet real. And there may be those who can light their candle at its flame." When he's talking about this, he's talking about the image of God and how Moses, when he came down from the mountain after being in that relationship with God that his face shone with glory. And he said, out of my relationship, though, my flame might be small. You might be on the work site. You might be at school. You might be working wherever you work, living wherever you live. And you might say, but my flame is small. Brothers and sisters, in darkness it shines bright. In Matthew, when we read that, the candles were small, and they would set it in the middle of the room, yet it would pierce that darkness. Same with us. My flame is not large. It is yet real. And there may be those who can light their candle at its flame. Because God is not slow in returning, wanting everyone to repent. So, whose image is seen in your life? Whose image is seen? Because image is everything. Whose is seen in your life? Is it God's or the world's? I'll soften it for you. Ultimately, it's Satan's. And when you look at others, whose image do you think about? Do you think about who they are, what they've done, how disgusting it is? Or do you remember that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual world? And that we're actually called to be warriors of faith and intercede on their behalf to touch them in some way that they might catch a flame of truth. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 17 says this: so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And if you can say amen to that, then people will see the image of God in your life through your words and actions. The image is everything. But what image is seen? I pray that it's the image of God. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I think sometimes we get into a routine and we allow our lives to become more focused on a religion than the truth of a relationship with you. We hear that said and we can kind of scoff it off and just say, yeah. And the fact of the reality is that we judge people. We complain. Our words do not bring encouragement to those. Lord, I pray that we would repent of that. Because you want to do so much through each one of our lives. You have a purpose. You want us to experience the fullness of life. You created this universe and the complexity of it. And you've created us, and our bodies are so complex that we haven't even close discovered everything. And yet, in that reality, we still somehow step back and say, well, this is different. God can't work here. And we grumble and complain because we do not understand. And yet in your word you tell us, you see it all. It's all been recorded. May we place our faith in you. May we die to ourselves and allow Christ to live in us. I pray that if there's anyone within the sound of my voice, that their heart is stirring because of the Spirit of God, that they would say yes today. Because walking in this relationship with you, each one of us that has experienced it, know when we have allowed it to grow cold, and our desire is to allow that fire to burn again. I pray they would say yes today, and I pray for each one of us that our hearts stir. What is the image people see? How do they hear me talk? How do they see me carry myself? Do they see I've placed my faith in you, or I'm placing my faith in myself? Lord, let our lights go forth from this building and let those around us see it. May they light their candles, their lives be touched by how we live for you. I pray that we would set our minds to being more conscious and intentional, encouraging one another, as that young man did to my son, that we would start being more intentional on that instead of dwelling and cursing on darkness, to encourage each other to be the light in this dark world. The reason we can and we have that faith and that hope is because of your son Jesus, and it's his blood that was shed that allows us to come to your throne and to receive this grace and mercy, to live out this life of faith, that people might see your Son Jesus in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your time and attention. Go and love, peace of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.